What do we make of the Raiders in the wake of the Josh McDaniels firing? How much does Josh Dobbs affect Jordan Addison as a fantasy receiver? And have the Buffalo Bills accidentally stumbled into a formula that will really help their offense fly? All that and more on Stat Nerd Thursday. Let's get into it. It's Thursday, November 2nd. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is, obviously, Saturday or Thursday, it's Dalton Del Don. Dalton, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, Harmon? Happy Halloween, belatedly. I'm not dressed up like Andy Barron. Sorry to disappoint you, but happy to talk some football with you. What's going on, man?
I mean, listen, it's going to be tough to top the Andy Barron's Arthur Smith costume, so I don't blame you for not even trying. I mean, I didn't even try. I missed the memo about the podcast the costumes, but I will try again next year. We'll all try to get better, just as Coach Smith is trying to make his team a little bit better, but we'll talk about that later. In fact, we're going to talk about every single team here on Stat Nerd Thursday, because that is what we do. We give you one stat you need to know for all 32 NFL teams. We go in order of the projected 2024 NFL draft, courtesy of Tankathon. So that brings us to, actually, Dalton, for the first time in forever, starting with a different team than the Carolina Panthers. We start today with the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals ranked 27th in dropback success rate this season. Dalton, this is interesting because, obviously, a lot of changes coming for the Cardinals passing game. Josh Dobbs is out. He's been traded to the Minnesota Vikings. Kyler Murray is not going to start this week. It's going to be Clayton Tune. What do you think this does to the, you know, Marquise Browns, the Trey McBrides of the world?
A tough matchup this week against the Browns defense, allowing the fewest EPA per play. And now, yeah, Clayton Tune is what we're expecting to start this week, with Kyler Murray soon thereafter. You got to figure Murray is an upgrade for Marquise Brown. His fantasy value should increase down the stretch. We love what Trey McBride did this last week, and he already looks like a starter. But it might be a rough patch here with Clayton Tune making a start on the road against one of the league's best defenses, coming off a loss. That said, the Browns have their own problems at quarterback, so maybe they'll find themselves in some good field position due to turnovers. But yeah, this is not a great situation for fantasy with Arizona turning to Tune. Josh Dobbs had his mistakes, and he was low catchable target rate and clean pockets and all that stuff. But he'd also make plays with his legs, and he could at least have the offense functionable compared to some other train wreck offenses. And who knows with Tune? It's just an unknown. We're kind of guessing with the rookie making his first start.
Yeah, no idea what that's going to look like. But I'm getting more and more excited to see what this offense looks like with Kyler Murray. We'll see. I like the idea. Look, right now, the Cardinals would pick first overall in the draft. If they remain that bad, they're probably just going to take whatever quarterback is up there, or they could auction off the pick. You never know. But at the very least, I totally understand like why they're interested in finding out what Kyler Murray would bring to them. And like I said, I'm interested in seeing what he would look like on this offense.
Yeah, no, the trade makes sense to give Dobbs to a quarterback needy team, especially with Murray ready. It was a perfect situation for that. But at the same time, I guess with the way Caleb Williams is looking too, there's no exercising that thought in the beginning of the year of, you know, let's hold Murray out and make sure we get that last pick. That's out the window. We're definitely going to see Murray over the second half.
100%. All right. So the Carolina Panthers, who usually occupy our number one spot, they are number two. This one comes in from Frank Amarante. Bryce Young just had the best game of his career against the Texans, putting up a 68.6 PFF passing grade. Good for 21st best of the season amongst all quarterbacks. Dalton, this is interesting because they got a pretty good matchup with the Colts this week.
Bryce Young looked good last week at times. Second half kind of got eaten by the pass rush and held onto the ball too long. But he outplayed Stroud, had his moments. We're moving in the right direction. New play caller, Chuba Hubbard. So the problem is, I agree, it's a good matchup against the Colts. Their secondary is vulnerable. Colts matchups are actually averaging the most combined snaps per game this year. But on the other hand, the Colts are also allowing the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. So Hubbard could fall into the end zone twice here just as easily. And so either way, I kind of like Panthers guys as sneaky DFS options with very low salaries. Bryce Young is the minimum still, and his trajectory is absolutely going up. Jonathan Mingo and Chark and Thielen, sneaky give him options there. I'm telling you, Mingo looks like a player who could, you know, break a long one any given week here. So I know on paper, you look at the receivers, it's mediocre at best, but I think it's good enough to have one of these weeks, Bryce Young's going to put up 20 plus fantasy points.
Yeah, Thielen's played well. I think Mingo is starting to show some signs of development. And Chark is just like, he's a guy who's going to stretch the defense. He's not going to ever be a consistent player, but he's a guy that's going to stretch the defense. And I'll say this too, watching that game, the communication, the pace, and the tempo felt much cleaner now that they had gotten the play calling duties off of Frank Reich's plate and onto Thomas Brown's plate. So I think that's good news for Bryce Young and all these passing game guys as well.
Just going to say, Hubbard clearly took over 15 carries to 2 for Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders ran the wrong route on a crucial fourth down. Reich was upset with after the game. Do you know Hubbard ranks top 10 in rush yards over expectation this season, more than doubling the broken tackle rate of Sanders? So I think it's going to be more of the same moving forward with the new play caller. I know Blackshear got involved and Hubbard was shut down last week, but the Texans run defense is playing way better. And the Colts, like I said, most rush touchdowns. So Hubbard, a real viable, cheaper DFS option, and start him if you have him.
Yeah, I'm a straight up idiot for drafting Miles Sanders a decent bit this year, but you know, listen, what can you do? All right. Number three team, Chicago Bears. Week 8 running back snap count for the Chicago Bears. Roschon Johnson led the way at 36%. Deontay Foreman led the way, or was second, with 32%. And Darrington Evans, 27%. I'm curious, Dalton, just because I was thinking about it this morning, like, what do you think this backfield is going to look like when Khalil Herbert comes back off IR?
I have a lot of Herbert. He was looking good, solidifying the lead role, but then the injury. Johnson's clearly the guy they trust the most, even the rookie, on the passing situations, his blocking and receiving ability compared to these other options. The problem was Evans getting involved. I mean, the Bears in the right matchup, two backs actually could be okay, especially Johnson in PPR, Foreman saying standard. But Evans involved makes it tricky with the quarterback situation being so shaky, and now Herbert, you know, eventually reintroduced. Next, is it week 10, right? I believe he's eligible to return. I expect a committee, and it's going to be tough for fantasy managers, and we don't even know if and when Fields returns.
Yeah, that's true. I think Foreman's looked really good when he's been the lead back. I think Herbert looked really good when he's the lead back.
Really good.
Yeah. It's just a tough spot here, that's for sure. All right, number four team, New York Giants. This one comes in from Joe Dolan. Since the start of the 2010 season, only two teams have finished a game with negative net passing yards, one of which was the New York Giants on January 2nd, 2022, -7 against the Chicago Bears. The second was the New York Giants last week, -9 against the New York Jets. What, I mean, look, obviously they had to play Tommy DeVito, you know, what a disaster the whole thing was. But man, this whole season has been so bad for the Giants. And like, I can't think of a, and you know what, this is kind of classic, like first year coach of the year type of stuff with, where the guy seems to be on a really high plane, Brian Daboll and like Joe Shane, these guys are all crushing it. And then like, the stock has just fallen so rapidly. I know there's been injuries. I know the offensive line has been like non-functional, and you know, Tyrod obviously gave him some moments here, but my God, just the vibes are so bad with this team right now.
And the Giants were going to win that game. They were had surely won. It took a confluence of events of a failed third down conversion, a missed Gano shortish field goal. Then Zach Wilson becoming the first quarterback since 2000 to complete 2 25-plus-yard passes in the final 30 seconds of a game. I mean, took all that to happen. And then overtime, of course, they had to lose as well. Tommy DeVito, do you know how many pass attempts he had in the second quarters 3 and 4?
No, I do not.
One. Yeah, and then he attempted 2 in overtime, only one counted because there's a penalty, I believe. But yeah, it's I guess he actually had, that's the character's name, Joe Pesci's name in Goodfellas, literally is Tommy DeVito. You can't make this up. Saquon Barkley looked great. He looked good, and now he gets the Raiders. He's coming off 40 opportunity game, I believe. But man, he looked good at having to carry this offense that wildly nearly finished with the fewest passing yards in NFL history and still won.
It's just absolutely insane. And like, by the way, Tommy DeVito was like a pretty quality like passer in college, or at least he's a guy who played a lot, right? So just a good this tweet from Russell Clay is what I was looking for. Tommy DeVito, a 5-year starter at Syracuse in Illinois, played 3/4 of an NFL game and finished with -1 passing yards. No, you could not complete a pass in an NFL game. Great reminder. Oh, like if anybody's ever like, yep, I could complete a pass or like, you know, whatever. No, could never happen.
No doubt. And yeah. Supposedly Daniel Jones, the doctors cleared him to play this game, but didn't alert Dable till afterward. I don't know how true that report is, but either way, hopefully he's coming back this week. So the quarterback, you know, at least the Giants lost Taylor, but hopefully we get Danny Dimes back. But, you know, DeVito is certainly going to be exciting if he comes off the bench.
Good God, what a disaster. All right. Next team here, number five, New England Patriots. Kendrick Bourne was leading the New England Patriots with a 27.4% air yard share and a 19.5% target share. Obviously, Dalton, real bummer. Kendrick Bourne having a nice year. He's out for the season now. Is there anything you're interested in this New England pass offense with him gone?
Yeah, DeMario Pop Douglas out of the slot, because this week he's facing the Commanders secondary, that one of the two best fantasy matchups for receivers. So, you know, competent Mac Jones. I actually want to ask you, we're getting really ugly, like DFS minimum here. Would you go Jalen Reagor, who led the team in routes and all that last week, or Juju Smith-Schuster here? And who's playing? Is Juju not playing the slot because of Pop Douglas? I love this reaction from you, but they're sickos. I'm not going to speak, you know, people I know, let's say, if they were deciding things like that. What, you don't have an opinion on Reagor versus Juju? I'm coming to you with the fun questions here, Armin.
God. No, I'm sorry to be disrespectful. Yeah, I'm looking at week eight right now. Juju played 72.7% of his, or he ran 72.7% of his routes out of the slot. He was only ran 11 routes though. I'll go.
Just getting his feet under him. Devontae Parker might, you know, miss this in concussion protocol. You know, no Bourne. You know, Thornton.
He
didn't
have any legs under him at this point, man. That guy can't run at all.
I forgot about that minor problem of having missing knee ligaments. But all right, okay. So you're not on board with this plan, period.
No,
you're just saying,
do anything else.
What about Douglas though? For fantasy managers in full PPR deeper leagues, you're okay with that one, right? Okay.
I kind of like what I've seen out of Pop Douglas. I'm not gonna say like go crazy about it or anything, but sure. I do think he's shown some flashes of like the ability to beat man coverage out of the slot, and you know, mostly on these like underneath routes and stuff like
that. The waiver wire is bare this week. You know, you got Trey McBride and you got maybe Pop Douglas. So yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, I like what I've seen out of Pop. I like what I've seen out of DeMario Douglas, but yeah, please God, don't go Jalen Reagor or Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, it's so beyond over. Okay. Number six, Green Bay Packers. Christian Watson leads the team in first read targets since week five. Good news, except for the fact that it's only a 22.5% share of those first read targets, which is not very much, Dalton. This is kind of what I expected Christian Watson to be, man. And, you know, it's just nothing is really functional right now in this Green Bay offense. Did you see the play floating around on Twitter where like everybody else seems to run like it's gonna, like it's a run play or whatever, like all the receivers go out blocking, like Jordan Love is dropping back to pass? This offense is just such a mess. It's so young. I'll send it to you, but yeah, this offense is a mess right now, and their supposed like number one receiver isn't really being treated like a number one receiver because he's not really that type of guy.
Yeah, the offense is miserable. Love has fallen to dead last in Next Gen's completion percentage above expectation. I believe PJ Walker is like well behind him, but he just doesn't quite qualify. But it's been brutal. I know they were trying to attribute, the coach was, to some drops, but it's unclear if you look at the film how much that is true last week.
And I don't know. I think it's kind of true. Like
you do,
This is definitely one of those. It's everything is true. Like,
yeah, okay.
All
he's had some
bad
weeks, suffered some brutal drops that I even highlighted in a column. But last week, it felt like a lot of those were, you know, contested type catch. Mm-hmm. Either way, the offense is dysfunctional, and Christian Watson's now facing a Rams secondary that hadn't allowed a touchdown to a receiver all since week one until CeeDee Lamb ripped him apart last week. But it's not a good matchup for Watson. The offense is dysfunctional. It's really bad. I mean, as I made the joke 2-3 weeks ago, I'm beginning to think it's a downgrade from Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Love was awesome the first 2 weeks. Within the number one fantasy QB, I mean, that just seems like such a distant memory.
All right, next team here. Number seven, Indianapolis Colts. The Colts lead the NFL with a 19.1% no huddle rate. The Colts have turned into like the perfect fantasy offense, right? Where, you know, perfect, maybe that's a stretch, but they've turned into a really nice carnival offense, as Scott Bienowski likes to talk about, where the defense is not very good. The quarterback is good enough, but will also turn the ball over to give, you know, extra possessions to the opposing team. And they also play fast. They don't huddle, and they've got good players, right? Michael Pittman, the running backs, Josh Downs looks incredible. So I'm kind of really enjoying this version of the Colts, even though I do wish Anthony Richardson was involved in the proceedings.
Yeah, great stat with the no huddle rate. As I said, they combine the most snaps per game, these matchups with the Colts this year. Jonathan Taylor, 95 rushing yards, 11 carries at halftime, one carry afterward. Yes, there's footage of him getting an ankle maybe twisted up, but he shakes it off and there's no, they've been asked numerous times afterwards, nothing to do with injury. I'm going to take that at face value. It was a weird sequence, including a lot of no huddle, them falling behind, and they prefer Zach Moss in those situations. But you can look at it one of two ways. A, it's clearly frustrating. He remains in a committee. The under the hood stats, his snap percentage is you know, his carry percentage has increased each week. And also, will they counter with hearing this through the media throughout the week and, you know, people like myself complaining? I wonder if they do feed Jonathan Taylor, because, you know, the guy's still one of the three best running backs in football. And this is a good matchup against Carolina. But you are taking a leap of faith if you're using him in DFS, because Zach Moss has been really, really good too. But really curious Taylor's usage of this game.
Absolutely. I think it is possible they come out and they just give him a lot of work, which would be definitely a welcome sight with how well he played. At one point, I think I saw Shane Steichen say it was a hot hand situation, but it sure felt like JT's hand was pretty hot. So
it was real against a tough, relatively tough matchup, too. But yeah, well, for what it's worth, we'll talk more in the next pod. But I believe Gardner Minshew, dramatic splits, man zone coverage, and Carolina's heavy zone, I believe. And in the bad way, Minshew's much better against man.
Got it. Yeah, well, that is going to be an interesting conversation for sure, because I really like those receivers this week. All right, let's move on to the number eight team, Las Vegas Raiders. Big news, Josh McDaniels, GM Dave Ziegler, offensive coordinator Mick Lombardi. These guys are all out. Your stat here is from at My Sports Update. Josh McDaniels lasted longer as the Broncos head coach, 694 days, than he did as the Raiders head coach. 639 days. Absolutely outrageous stuff here. Also, it sounds like they're going to start Aiden O'Connell for the foreseeable future. You know, Dalton, before I get your reaction to all of this, I had this thought this morning when I woke up to the news, because I'm a lame East Coaster now and I don't stay up till, you know, one in the friggin' morning. So I didn't see this until I woke up this morning. And just like, I had the thought with, this was one of those moves like Josh McDaniels and the boys just, like, how do people talk themselves into something, right? Number one, how did the Raiders talk themselves into, like, Josh McDaniels was going to work out, right? I don't know. But number two, if you're Josh McDaniels and you're sitting down and you're like, all right, I'm getting rid of Derek Carr, which, by the way, totally defensible decision. But, like, my solution is I'm just going to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo and, like, we're just going to fly. Who else? Like, it's one of those things where it was a bad idea. Everybody knew it was a bad idea. Except the one person who made the decision. Well, I guess two people, Ziegler and McDaniels. The only two people on planet Earth who thought it was Jimmy Garoppolo probably didn't even think it's an idea, like a good idea. He probably got the call from him like, wait, you guys want me to come in there as the unquestioned starter? He sent his agent like, yeah, you'll never believe who I've got on the other line. I know I don't have any other, like, did he have any other offers for a straight up
starting
job? Coming
off major foot surgery that took forever to even get physically cleared.
Right, right. Like, that was my thought this morning, like, in reacting to this news. I was like, well, yeah, of course this is how it ended, because nobody else on planet Earth thought this was a good idea.
And then what about them waiting to do it until a Tuesday night during a short week? I mean, it's just a disaster all around. I think part of the benching, I mean, a part of it was Jimmy Garoppolo missing wide open Davante Adams numerous times. But another part is I guess, I was just going to say that it saves them money, I believe. It's just like the Derek Carr situation when they benched him, you know, healthy Carr. So there's that. O'Connell held on to the ball so long his last start.
So what a disaster now for everybody else on that roster, man. I mean, because now, I mean, especially for Davante Adams. And I saw a tweet from Josina Anderson that she said that someone else that was trying to trade for a playmaker from the Raiders. Gee, I wonder who that could be. They got no call back from the facility. Like, they're trying to call the Raiders, they're trying to, like, negotiate a trade offer, and nobody called them back. Well, no shit. Everybody's getting fired.
Yeah.
Of course. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I just now Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, like Josh Jacobs. I mean, I'm curious what you think about for all of these guys going forward, because now it's just like these guys, those three players, and they're obviously a ton of other dudes on the roster, but like obviously those three guys are probably three of their best players, and you know whatever. Max Crosby too. I mean, my God, Max Crosby is like so one of the best players in the NFL. Oh, yeah. Period. And now they're just going to have to spin their wheels for the next however many months. I mean, what an awful for those guys.
Yeah, I guess it can't be any worse. I mean, they're the only team to not reach 21 points or something this season. And Josh Jacobs, I will say, looked the best he has all season, to my eyes, last game. And O'Connell did have his moments in the preseason. He held on to the ball so long his first start. But he'll attack downfield, at least. He's better, he's better than a Brian Hoyer option. So, and Jimmy G was just so bad and an injury waiting to happen anyway. So I think with Adams and Myers, you're certainly not looking to trade him after last week. And you just got to hope that O'Connell, again, it can't really get any worse. This was like the league worst offense right now. So it's been ugly. So let's see what AOC can do.
I mean, we might as well, man. Yeah, PFF George Chihui from PFF, he had this tweet too, where Jimmy G has never had an average time to throw greater than 2.6 seconds in his entire career. This year, it's at 2.85. Just totally lost back there. And you see it too. He's back there just hopping around. It's just, it's over for Jimmy G. Like, time to retire. I hate to say it, but it just, I'm just disgusted. Like, I'm just disgusted with this Raiders offense and everything that's happened here. All right, let's move on, for God's sakes, before I take up half the podcast, talk about the Raiders. Number 9 team, Denver Broncos. Let's talk positive. Javonte Williams has touched the ball 48 times the last 2 weeks in the wake of the little mini bye post TNF and their loss to Kansas City. Notable here that Denver is 2-0 in this stretch. There could be like a correlation, causation to that right there. But Javonte Williams certainly seems like he's been getting ramped up.
Yeah, it's moving in the right direction. Now the team has a bye. So it's, treat him as a top 15-ish type of fantasy back after the bye, for sure. I mean, McLaughlin's will get his moments and P. Ryan takes some passing down work, but it's Williams' backfield. We all love the player before the injury. It makes sense. Took him half the year to multi-ligament surgery. Wheels up, as they say, moving forward. He should be a lead back down the stretch. And Russell Wilson's playing very, very fine football. Very passable.
I think they actually lead the NFL in percentage of targets to their running backs, too. So mostly that's going to go, you know, to P. Ryan and McLaughlin. But still, he's going to get in the mix here is Javonte Williams. Number 10 team, Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford ranks 16th in adjusted net yards per attempt. He's just ahead of Derek Carr and Gardner Minshew. I know we've been doing this for a while now, Dalton, where it's like at some point the fantasy production and the passing production is going to catch up with how well he's playing. But, you know, now he's injured. Are we at a point where like that dream just kind of needs to die?
Yeah, it's the same thumb ligament deal I guess he dealt with in the past. It's so bizarre that he suffered the injury on a two-point attempt, then returned to the game after halftime and caught a two-point attempt, and now he might, you know, have to go on IR. So it's just bizarre. I guess just the muscle started chaining throughout the game or whatever. But this is just massive news for Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. You know, Brett Rypien is their backup option. It sounds like Stetson Bennett is not going to be available for this season. And I mean, Rypien is going to be a major downgrade from Stafford, no matter how disappointing Stafford's box score numbers are. The guy can sling it downfield. And it's not ideal for Henderson and or Royce Freeman, who could be real interesting fantasy options this week against a really bad Packers run defense. So hopefully Stafford can get healthy, but it sounds like this would at minimum going to affect him with the range of outcomes involving a trip on IR.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, I'm not trading for any Rams. I'm trying to avoid that situation right now because we've seen what can happen. Like the bottom can just completely fall out here like it did last season. All right, number 11 team, Washington Commanders. Washington Commanders ranked 30th in EPA per dropback allowed on defense. They ranked 12th in success rate, though, which kind of shows you that like they've had their moments down to down, but they just get ripped up by big plays, especially through the air. And now they just traded both of their top edge pass rushers in Chase Young to your Niners and Montez Sweat to the Chicago Bears, who, by the way, I saw today the Bears might, like, they're gonna try to pull off an extension for Montez Sweat. You better not try. Yeah. You better, like, where's Yoda right now to say, no, there's no try, there's only do. You better do it if you're gonna trade a second round pick for the guy. Your second round pick. Have you not learned what happens with this? Chase Claypool? I mean, give me a break. Montez Sweat is a much better football player than Chase Claypool, but if you don't extend Montez Sweat, regardless of what you think about the move, period, even if they do manage to extend it. I mean, my God. Anyways, sorry. Washington Commanders, their defense was already bad. It's about to get worse.
Yeah. All the more reason to play Juju Smith-Schuster with the New England going to be comfortable back there.
No, no, Jalen Reagor. No, definitely play Jalen Reagor, Dalton.
All right, okay. All the more reason comfortable in that pocket with the Washington trading all their linemen here. But, man, that was a nice surprise. The Niners maybe, feeling that three-game losing streak to hear the Chase Young addition after CMC last year. I love Niners going for it. Just the trade deadline in general, as John Lynch was pointing out, it's just changed overnight. Like 7 years ago, he said, we took over the job. Everyone was scared to call each other, and it was not the culture, and now it's just changed. Yes, I know we'd hope for more in other sports. It's even bigger, and there wasn't any for fantasy that was massive, but it's fun to see some deals go down, and especially after the Claypool second rounder, they better lock up Sweat. The Washington with the declining defense, an emerging Dotson, it's this nice fantasy carnival numbers for Sam Howell, who continues to run.
Definitely.
and it's really a nice setup for him to continue to be a borderline top 15 fantasy QB.
Yeah, before they blow it all up and somebody else is starting next year.
Or he gets injured, on pace for 100 sacks. That too. But we made the joke last week and he was sackless at halftime against the Eagles. So because football.
Because football, baby. Two things. One, I do think that the trade deadline is obviously much better in the NFL now than it was, like John Lynch said, 7 years ago. I mean, shoot, even like 4 years ago. It's way better. And we got some big trades here at the trade deadline, mostly defensive guys, like you said. And even last year, we had one of the best players on offense in the entire league traded in Christian McCaffrey right before the deadline. However, I do think the media, big media, putting the finger out there at everybody, I guess myself included here as quote, the media, has jumped the shark a little bit with like trying to put everybody on the trade block at the deadline. It's just not how the frickin' sport works. I mean, like, allegedly, according to people out there, like Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans, everybody was available for trade. T. Higgins available for trade. It's not how it works, okay? Like, give me a break. We got to come back to reality here.
There was a report, so I'm curious if you buy in it at all, that Derrick Henry was traded to the Ravens and ownership stopped it. You think that's true?
I do buy that just a little bit. I do buy that just a little bit.
Wow, but that'd be scary for the league.
I know.
King Henry, a big dog on the Ravens offense. Yikes.
Well, you know what? The thing is, Dalton, all these teams don't want to just trade all their good players just because, like, they're gonna be bad or whatever. You know?
Yeah,
I don't know. Anyways.
Gus Edwards. I'm good with it. My best, most important fantasy team has Gus Edwards. So we're good. We're good.
Same. Second thing. Would you like to know where Jalen Reagor ranks in terms of a success rate versus man coverage all time in reception perception? Would you like to know?
Oh man, what? How many qualify?
Like
last, last. Let me guess, last.
Third to last.
Third to last. Who's worse?
Justin Hunter and Terrace Marshall.
Terrace Marshall's that bad. Okay, so Reagor is.
Do you want to know? Who's fourth? Devontae Parker, the guy who he's allegedly replacing.
Yeah, Reagor taken ahead of Justin Jefferson. That's a rough one. Bottom three.
Jalen Reagor.
You know what I'm hearing? More Juju talk. More Juju hype. That's all I keep hearing from you over here. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Harmon. I'm picking up.
At least Juju can get open against zone coverage,
Wait, hold seriously, can he play not slot if they have Douglas playing the slot? This is a serious question.
No, he cannot, even against
Washington's secondary without a pass rush. Okay, all right, okay.
I mean, Juju is so scoring 2 touchdowns this week now, just because we've had this whole conversation. All right.
He hit pay dirt last week.
Yeah, on his 11 routes, unbelievable. You're
commanding those targets inside the 5.
Stop. I can't do this. All right, number 12, Houston Texans. This one comes in from Lord Reeves, Rich Rebar himself. The Texans have the lowest dropback rate in the league on first down, 40.4%. They are averaging a healthy 3.4 yards per first down rush. That is 30th in the league. Bobby Slowick's done a real good job as this team's offense coordinator, but like, man, enough already with the first down runs. This run game is not very good. I remain kind of skeptical that Damian Pierce is a fit for this offense. Pretty big mess here.
Yeah, it's slow. I mean, I thought he was smart and sharp, but what's going on with these runs? Don't love it. Just this week, another matchup, Tampa Bay, beatable secondary. Let's go, Nico Collins. Let's go, Tank Dell. Collins has these crazy home road splits this season. Probably nothing, but they're home. Stroud,
he's a new Amari Cooper.
Better bounce back. Yeah, seriously. I like this offense to bounce back this week, but yeah, you'd like to see more first down pass plays.
All right, these next two are going to be like Dalton heat check Harmon on things he thought in the preseason that he gave up on, but might be thinking again, starting with number 13 team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Baker Mayfield is averaging 5.3 yards per attempt the last 3 weeks. Is Baker Mayfield turning back into a pumpkin, Dalton Del Don? Yes or no?
I think he's just who he always was. He has his moments, and those are tougher secondaries he's played recently. But even then, Houston, Ryan's has them playing better defense too. So I don't know. I just think kind of Mayfield is who he is. Is that a boring take?
No, I think it's probably the correct take. I just think it's going to shave the ceiling off of these receivers just a little bit, but the floor is still going to be better, I think, than
Mayfield gets no help from his running game too. Also, just to be fair.
A disaster of a run game. What a nightmare.
And playing through a couple painful injuries, I think, too. He's a gamer. He's more fun to watch than having your fantasy team, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's fun to watch when the situation is good. And this isn't a great situation, but I do think they're okay.
I just like him getting fired up and finishing runs. I don't know. It's fine. Yeah, no, it's the passing game's hurting, but Evans is good enough to exceed it. And I know Godwin's due for a better game too himself. Maybe it happens this week.
The rich man's Sam Howell is Baker Mayfield. All right. Yeah. Number 14, LA Chargers. Keenan Allen has not cleared 90 yards since week 3. Josh Palmer actually leads the team in yards in that span with 294. Keenan Allen, like, definitely has not had a big blow-up game. He's still been a solid floor receiver, but this offense also has really struggled, I think, to be consistent, especially as a passing unit. They beat up on the Bears. Yeah, who cares? Everybody beats up on the Bears. Bears aren't a serious operation. So, any concern that Keenan Allen, like, we've already seen the best of his season so far?
Yeah, sir. Yes, I agree that we have, because Eckler's back and he'll take the targets. Mm-hmm. Certainly surprised he hasn't topped that number with Mike Williams out. Been very tough secondaries, though. Cowboys, Chiefs, last week was a, you know, lopsided game. So Allen will be fine. Tougher matchup this week against the Jets. And Eckler's return makes him no longer I would treat him as a weekly top five guy given the targets without Mike Williams. But now with Eckler back, yeah, he's more like a low end wide receiver one, depending on matchups, which is still obviously great.
Yeah, still great. I think he's just probably like going to, this is the thing we do this when a receiver leaves, like, oh, well, the other guy gets a boost. Well, sometimes it affects the entire offense, especially when you take the vertical X receiver out. And like Palmer's been good, but he's not really that vertical guy. And obviously, Quentin Johnson is what he is.
I went all in on the Chargers last week in my Survivor, Harmon. And I don't know if you're watching. I even finished my column early last week, wrote through the afternoon games and Niners. I couldn't not watch. The first play of the game was a touchdown, Bears. I don't know if you saw that. Mooney. They blew that dead. Why was the whistle dead? He was not tackled. It was a pass interference
just
on the other
you.
Team, and he scored a touchdown. I'm like, well, this is about right. 7-0 immediately. But your guy, our guy, Austin Eckler, came through. Dude is clearly playing injured too. He aggravated his ankle injury. He even alluded to it afterward too. He's playing injured, still beasting, missing, breaking tackles in the open field. Love him. Let's go. We survive one more week.
Beautiful. Love to see it. All right. Number 15 team is the Tennessee Titans. We're skipping them for Thursday Night Football. Number 16, New Orleans Saints. Chris Olave leads the league in unrealized air yards by a mile. Meanwhile, Alvin Kamara has 7 more receptions than any other running back, despite missing 3 games, which is pretty insane. You know, I said this with Andy on the podcast earlier this week, that Chris Olave needs to wear some of the blame and not like an insignificant amount for all of these unrealized air yards. I know I'm the lead lobbyist for a big receiver, but that is just the truth. The Derek Carr stuff with the Alvin Kamara checkdowns is pretty disastrous too. I just don't know. Like, does Chris Olave get right this year? Is it just going to be like an entire weird sophomore slump season?
I mean, Andy Dalton was actually accurate last year. Derek Carr ranks 28th in deep ball completion percentage. I think it's somewhere around 40% of his air yards or quote unquote prayer yards. But I've also just personally witnessed Carr flat out miss him multiple times. Just
100%.
Downfield. Just bad, bad, bad. Whatever those stats show. I mean, we've seen it last week. I don't know whose fault that was off his helmet. Probably Olave's. He should have turned around sooner. Either way, it was, you know, 50 yard touchdown. It should have happened. But yeah, I wrote about him in my numbers do lie column Olave. And I came to the conclusion that he's going to be better, you know, moving forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy, he's run the most routes in football, ranked 7th in targets, 3rd in air yards, but just 18th in receiving yards and 60th in touchdowns. So he will be better, but he is going to disappoint from this point forward compared to his ADP. He's not, I don't think he's even going to be like a second round receiver. Do you know, since Alvin Kamara returned, he ranks 4th on the Saints in receiving yards. I mean, Shahid's a thing. Thomas does his stuff. So I love the player Olave. I think Derek Carr is a real problem for him, and he's going to be better, but not what we expected moving forward. Fair?
I think that is definitely fair. I do think we're going to, like, just because he probably won't make that leap, but he could easily have like 1,100 yards by the end of the season and like 4 or 5 touchdowns, which isn't going to be like making the leap, but we'll look back and be like, oh, that was an okay season. I think it's going to be slightly under expectations, like you said.
Yeah, and 1,100 yards if you finish 3rd or top 5 league in targets. He's just not, you know, he could be better, man. He could explode with right 100%. Quarterback play because he's an awesome, awesome player.
Yeah. He just does need to play a little bit better, though. Like I said,
I agree. Yeah. He has some, and he's played through injuries, you know, a couple, who knows if that's even a turf toe. Maybe that's totally like the real thing, you know? I mean, so you're right, though. He's made some mistakes, too, and there's miscommunication that I have no idea whose fault it is. And again, he could have turned around and caught that ball last week, and it might have been a 50-yard touchdown, right, all on him, so.
Number 17 team, New York Jets. Breece Hall has the 4th most breakaway runs this season, despite having just the 29th most carries. Breece Hall is awesome. He's a running back 1. I think in like rest of season rankings, he should be clearly a top 5 running back.
Yeah, opportunity share increase each of the last 3 games. Better matchup this week, getting 6 yards per carry at home this season. I was debating ranking him either 1, 2, or 3 among my running backs this week.
Dalvin Cook, I think actually I did put Breece Hall number 1 in my running back rankings this week.
Like it.
Dalvin Cook, man, that he's in that Jimmy G bucket I talked about earlier. We're like, why did anybody really think this was a good idea?
Yeah,
what
just name recognition, and his stats fell off a cliff last year. There was a hope that the shoulder surgery corrected it, but yeah, that looks bad in hindsight. He's legitimately zero threat. Like, I mean, Michael Carter takes more touches.
Yeah, there are Jets fans out there that are like, why is Michael Carter in the 2-minute drill every single time? So I totally get that one. All right, number 18 team, Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow. Took just 1 fewer snap under center last week, 14 snaps under center than he did over weeks 1 to 6 combined. Thought this was pretty interesting, Dalton, because when they're able to marry the two offenses, they can be too siloed sometimes where their run game is all under center and their passing game is all under shotgun. When they can kind of mix the two and blend the two, when they have their quarterback healthy, that's when we see the best version of the Bengals. And I think we're going to see that going forward.
Joe Burrow is so back. I mean, even before the bye, yes, we all saw him look better, move around a little better. But after the bye, he had not gotten 7.0 YPA in any game this season. Ripped apart my Niners for 8.8. The Niners entered allowing the second fewest YPA in the league and upset coming off back-to-back losses at home. And Burrow just ripped them apart, man. Career high 19 straight passes. Finished with the highest completion percentage ever against the San Francisco 49ers. Obviously, it helps having helps having Jamar Chase, who's among the leaders in wide open targets, and now a healthy T. Higgins. So Burrow is not even been a top 20 fantasy QB this season. He's going to be a top 5-1 moving forward. He's back. Again, those under center snaps are huge. And just look at the highlights. There's one play where he broke so many tackles, got out of Armstead, had him for a sure one. Another play, he crossed over Nick Bosa and then just looked downfield. It was one of the most impressive performances of the season, Joe Burrow, last week.
Totally agree. You couldn't have said it any better. He is so back. So we love to see that. I think better days will come for T. Higgins at some point, too. You know, 69 yards against the Niners. There will be some bigger games for him forward. I'm not sure he might not reach the ceiling of his ADP either. Obviously, it hasn't happened so far, but no reason to think the better days aren't ahead for T. Higgins with Joe Burrow playing like this. Number 19, Atlanta Falcons.
Real quickly, I like Joe Mixon look good, and now moving forward, don't underrate that. This is going to help him. Burrow being back, I kept moving him up ECR. I'm like, even the Bills can get ran on, and they're going to score a lot of points now. I know that Mixon's not great, and we get tired of the Tony Pollard score eventually, but I don't know. There's a little hope here that Mixon could be like a top, borderline top five-ish back here with Burrow being back. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know about top five-ish, but I think running back one is certainly possible. I don't know about top 12-ish.
Okay.
Top 12.
I know he doesn't look great. I know. Okay.
Yeah. But you're right though. It's better when Burrow's healthy. And like I said, they're able to mix those concepts together, the under center and the drop back pass game out of shotgun. All right. Number 18, Atlanta Falcons, via Scott Spratt. This one comes in. Rookie running back share leader in week 8 is Bijan Robinson with 74%. I'll throw this on there too, from Taylor Heinicke. 11.2 air yards per pass attempt, according to Next Gen Stats last week. 3.2 completion percentage over expectation for Taylor Heinicke, who is now the week 9 starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. ODU's finest, baby, back in our life.
Yeah, what do you make of this? It's probably an upgrade for Drake London and Kyle Pitts, although Ritter was improving passing. Arthur Smith had a funny line. I wish I'd remember, but he's not benching him, but he's replacing him for a week or something like that. Drake London, our guy, we just need to know his health. Monitor his groin injury. Hopefully he's back for this one, because obviously a nice matchup with Minnesota, more vulnerable secondary and very, very, not great to run against. So I'd like this matchup for London if healthy, with Heinicke there too.
Yeah. Josh Norris, I think, shared the Arthur Smith quote, I think, that you're talking about here. And he just said, like, he's totally leaning into the bit. Like, he's grinning during this whole thing. Like, just like he knows how ridiculous he sounds. Funny. And like, he just doesn't care at this point.
Okay. What a guy. Well, good for him that he's leaning into it. That's actually funny. I appreciate a good trolling.
Oh, yeah. Total trolling. He knows what he's doing here for sure. Number 20, Minnesota Vikings. Jordan Addison, last two games without Justin Jefferson. 18 targets, 103 yards per game, 11.3 yards per target. Wide receiver 1 overall and wide receiver 7 overall. So I don't know, man. I do think he has to be considered a loser, though, with Josh Dobbs. I mean, Josh Dobbs has played really well. He's not going to start this week. But like, Josh Dobbs rest of season versus Kirk Cousins rest of season, that's pretty tough.
It's a big loss. Yeah, definitely. And does Justin Jefferson not rush back now? And this week, maybe Dobbs, he hasn't even been ruled out of coming into this game. And I know he's always quick to pick up offenses, a smart guy. Addison, second to Tyreek Hill in touchdowns per game receiving this season as a rookie, and now loses Cousins, who was balling for fantasy managers and in real life. And that, man, that Minnesota team, the quarterback position is fairly important, but you look at their underlying stats and they were just so much better than last year's version, even though their record masked it. They were an interesting team that if they stopped losing fumbles, they could have won a couple playoff games. But now, obviously, that's just a killer relying on Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins and or Joshua Dobbs with, still no Justin Jefferson.
Number 21 team, Pittsburgh Steelers, was skipping them for Thursday Night Football. So number 22 team, Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns running back snaps in week 8. Kareem Hunt, 27. Pierre Strong, 24. Jerome Ford, 23. Ford seemed to play less and less as the game went on. He was in there kind of late. It was weird usage from Jerome Ford. Pierre Strong was really only used in like kind of obvious pass situations. So Dalton, what do we make of this Browns backfield right now?
Yeah, I mean, a three-way committee is tough, but if you have Hunt, if you have Ford, you're probably using them in a week with four byes and a matchup where the Browns are 7.5-8 point home favorites and they want to play hide the quarterback. I mean, there's even talk of DTR starting over PJ Walker. So I think it's a good setup for, I think the Browns are among the league leaders in rush attempts per game. So frankly, all three could approach a dozen touches, but with Hunt the favorite for goal line work, I kind of ranked him highest, but I think ECR actually has Ford highest, but we're guessing on the health of his ankle. I believe it. I've heard people refer to it that he had high ankle sprain, but I thought it was always reported as a low ankle sprain, 1 to 2 weeks. But it is weird that they rushed him back when they have capable replacements. But this is obviously bad news for fantasy managers. There's three guys there.
100%. The reporting on high ankle sprains has been interesting this year, where everybody seems to think every ankle sprain is a high ankle sprain, and then teams are kind of been coy with it. So I don't really know what the deal is. I think maybe fantasy managers are just like guessing that everything is a high ankle sprain when maybe it's not, but I don't know.
Amari Cooper at home, high target rate with Walker, but a high uncatchable target rate with Walker too.
Watson practice Wednesday for whatever that means, practice this week.
Something to pay attention to for sure. Browns will be a very popular choice in Survivor this week, and their quarterback, I mean, their passing offense is one of the absolute worst in the league. They're the biggest favorites on the board. It's interesting. Oh,
can't see me doing that. If I was alive in any Survivor pool, I'm not rocking with this either Deshaun Watson or PJ Walker operation here in a Survivor situation. No, thank you. Hey, your San Francisco 49ers, Dalton. We're getting to them pretty early here. Number 23, San Francisco 49ers. Through week 8, Brock Purdy is 6th amongst quarterbacks in turnover-worthy play percentage with 5.1%. Only such luminaries like Desmond Ridder, Mac Jones, Gardner Minshew, Tyler Bagent, and PJ Walker are ahead of him, have a higher turnover-worthy play rate. I don't know why like people get so upset about turnover-worthy play percentage as a stat, but like this is, you put the ball in harm's way, sometimes it's going to be going to go to the other team. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes they're not going to make a play on the ball. That's just the reality of who Brock Purdy is. He's a gunslinger.
Our guy Edwin Porras posted interesting stats that turnover-worthy plays dramatically increased from quarterbacks 1 week after a concussion, and it was kind of interesting to watch my quarterback throw those back-to-back interceptions in crucial plays in the second half after having never lost at home. Purdy made mistakes. Ayuk missed a ball in the sun, dropped a pass. Everyone to look at it. Deep downfield for the second time in 3 weeks. Their defense really struggled back. I mean, their defense was ripped apart by Burrow. Purdy, the interceptions remind you of Garoppolo at times over the middle there. Nice play on that one screen, but it wasn't his best effort. The Niners are reeling, 3 straight losses, and they countered with by trading for Chase Young, entering the team's bye. Shanahan said the team looked really tired on tape. Nick Bosa, man, he's up there in the pressure rate, ranks as the second highest edge rusher in PFF, but just completely quiet on the sack stat sheet this season.
It'll be fine. Bosa will be fine. The whole team will be fine. I couldn't be less concerned about the Niners.
Yeah, I'd rather suffer some downtime in the middle of the year than at the end of the year. And really, the key with this team is health, and they haven't suffered any dramatic injuries yet.
Number 24 team, Buffalo Bills. Fallout without Dawson Knox. This one comes in from John Daigle. 78% 11 personnel usage. That was at 53.8% coming in. Josh Allen, season high 3 designed runs. Dalton Kincaid had a season high route percentage at 85%. And Khalil Shakir, season high in routes 70% with a target share of 15.3%. Dalton, I love Khalil Shakir. I was a big fan of his coming into the league, and I was kind of confused. It's like, why are we completely icing out Khalil Shakir from this offense? And I get it. They wanted to do this whole little two tight end experiment. I think the experiment's over. Okay. Dawson Knox is banged up anyways. It gives you a convenient time to like do something else, run a real offense. I said this in the preseason with this two tight end stuff. Teams think like, ooh, yeah, we'll use two tight ends, so they'll counter us with their base defense. Everybody knows what you're doing. You're even talking about it. They're calling it 11 and a half personnel. You know what teams do? They come out there with their nickel package, and then their slot corner is on your tight end, and that's a mismatch probably in the defense's favor. So I kind of think, look, injuries are always bad. Injuries stink to a guy like Dawson Knox, but I kind of think it might bring out actually sneakily the best version of the Bills' offense.
Yeah, Kincaid looked great last week. He's already the top 5 ranked fantasy tight end this week in ECR. And Shakir was a guy I was drafting in best ball months ago, and suddenly, oh, nice to see him there. I thought he would take over that slot role, but it didn't quite happen. Hopefully it does moving forward. And now Leonard Fournette is there. What are we doing with this? What are we doing with Fournette there?
Just takes like Damian Harris's role? Yeah. That was my guess.
Yeah. Cook is definitely battling for some high value touches there. But this should be a fun one against the Bengals. Kincaid, you're rolling in lineups in this offense. It looked like it was clicking to me in those using that personnel.
Yeah, I think Khalil Shakir can have some staying power if he continues to just play well. Number 25 team, Seattle Seahawks, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, touchdown in 2 straight games, 5-plus targets in all but 2 games this season. Average depth of target has greatly risen since the bye, 9.0-plus yards, higher average depth of target. Great to see for JSN, who's not Rondale Moore or any like those gadgety players. That usage was weird to start the season. I think it's probably a thing of the past.
Yeah, it's probably going to take an injury to Metcalf or Lockett for him to truly break out in fantasy. And the other thing worth noting here is Charbonnet, I believe, outsnapped Kenneth Walker last week, who missed time with an injury throughout practice. So also could have been game script, but that's absolutely a situation that needs to be monitored.
All right, number 26 team, Dallas Cowboys. CeeDee Lamb led all wide receivers in target share with 41% last week. Dallas used motion a little bit more too. I loved seeing CeeDee Lamb, who had a season high, I think 6 targets outside. Love to see him used as that like X receiver more often, because in this offense, the primary read is going to be outside. So why do you not put your best player out there when there's nothing about his skill set that says he needs to be limited to a slot receiver role? He's a weapon, a mismatch inside. But when you put him as the outside guy in high leverage situations, he's going to be the one getting the ball, because that is how the offense is designed. And Dak is kind of like a paint by numbers type of quarterback. Like, I'm going to do the right thing. So we saw what happened last week. They were totally in rhythm. Love to see it. Think CeeDee Lamb, a huge win last week, that type of usage. And I hope it continues.
Yeah, led all receivers with 41% target share, scored twice against a Rams secondary that hadn't allowed a touchdown to receivers since week one. Something's wrong with my guy, Tony Pollard. Could be any number of reasons. Michael Gallup hasn't looked right. Feed this. Lamb should be the focal point of Dallas's offense. My guy, John Owning, tweeted, the Cowboys entered Sunday using motion pre-snap, only 33 plays all season, did it 18 times last game. So they made a fundamental change coming out of the bye, and CeeDee Lamb is good news for CeeDee Lamb's fantasy managers. And this week against a Eagles team allowing a bunch of fantasy points to receivers, the second most pass attempts versus Philadelphia opponents have. So, and they're the toughest in the league to run against. So I expect Lamb to approach another dozen targets this week.
Yeah, there was a lot of plays where like CeeDee Lamb starts as the outside wide receiver, and then they motion another guy outside as the off-ball player, and that just allows for so many more matchup advantages for Lamb. So, I mean, it's not these like big sweeping motions like, you know, the damn Dolphins do or anything, but it's good enough. It's good enough to get there.
Better than nothing.
Yeah, it also allowed Brandon Cooks to be in the slot on 40.7% of his routes last week, which is good to see, because I think that's going to help him out and give them more, again, matchup advantages as a speed slot receiver as opposed to CeeDee Lamb running slants from the damn slot. I mean, give me a break. All right. Number 27 team, Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars target share since week two. Christian Kirk, 23.9%. Evan Ingram, 23.8%. Calvin Ridley, 19.7%. Meanwhile, in week eight, Travis Etienne got 89% snap share, trailed only CMC amongst all running backs. Man, this guy just never leaves the field, probably because Tank Bigsby hasn't been what they expected.
Yeah, Bigsby lost another fumble during his 3 carries last week. Man, the sign of a truly great fantasy back is producing in tougher matchups, and that's what Etienne's been doing, you know, in Pittsburgh, in New Orleans the last couple of weeks. He has another, not the easiest ones coming out of the bye either, but he's a beast. He's there is concern if he can hold up with this workload.
Definitely.
I love the player, but this is a little bit much for him, but looks awesome. It took taken over short yardage work. He looks great in space once you get him the ball as a receiver. He's simply one of the best running backs in football right now.
I am definitely concerned about that too. Like, I don't want him to get banged up. And the problem with the Bigsby pick is that he has not emerged as a guy that they can use.
No, he was redundant. But his name's Tank, though, Harmon. But he has a cool first name. Yeah, 45.
I said that in the preseason. If this guy's name was like Tim Bigsby, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, I said quite a bit too when I was hyping ETN and saying he's going to finish the top 5 fantasy back. Tank Bigsby scored 45 fewer touchdowns throughout his college career, as my guy Mario Puig kept pointing out. I mean, these were not comparable players at all. ETN is like awesome. He's like a special, special player, and finally given the opportunity, and you love to see it.
Yeah, especially just like as a real running back. We don't need him to do the gadgety stuff like Urban Meyer wanted him to do. Like, just have him be a real running back, and look what we've gotten. It's been great so far. Yeah. Number 28, Baltimore Ravens. Gus Edwards through week 8 has 426 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. That is more rushing yards than the following players: Tony Pollard, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Alexander Mattison. Okay. All right. The Lions running backs individually, both of them, Brian Robinson. Great to see. He has one more rushing touchdown than all of those guys mentioned, except David Montgomery, which is hilarious because he has not played the last few weeks. So Gus Edwards is kind of balling, man.
He really is. He's playing well. He's taken over the role. There'll still be some Justice Hill in passing situations, and Edwards is kind of a little bit touchdown and game script dependent, but not so bad.
Yeah,
he's been
definitely
good, been top 10 the last 2 weeks, number one last week. He's been great. He's been real savior for those who lost J.K. Dobbins and survived till now. So yeah, he's, and they didn't trade for Derrick Henry last I checked. So yes, you're using Edwards even in a, you know, Seattle plays tougher run defense, but you're still you're using him at home. Lamar Jackson's getting 9.1 YPA at home this season, so there should be some scoring opportunities for Gus Bus once again.
There's going to be some times when he has like 50 scoreless yards, you know, and no catches. That's going to kind of sting, but the ceiling's there every single week because this offense is starting to look right. So I love the Gus Edwards shout out there. All right, number 29 team, Detroit Lions. Jameson Williams has been under 50% of the routes in the last three games, and the Lions just traded for Donovan Peoples-Jones, which doesn't move the needle much for me. DPJ, I've always said, is like a guy, if that. He ran a bunch of routes last week, didn't get a single target. Like, I don't know that he's going to come in here and command a big role, but he is a vertical receiver. Jameis Williams is just like disaster. Like, I don't know what else to say. He's just been a disastrous draft pick so far from every possible angle. I don't even think this is a guy that you like need to roster right now. I keep seeing people say, just stick him on the end of your bench, first round pedigree. Like, how long are we going to be saying that about Jameson Williams?
I mean, after going catchless on 6 targets 2 games ago, I thought Williams would be like a sneaky play with Amon-Ra St. Brown having to deal with Nate Hobbs, who's quietly one of the best slot corners in football, and he was returning. But no, it was Amon-Ra show all game and just zero from Williams. You can only expect even less with DPJ. Well, I mean, maybe he'll get a better. He's a young player, but Donovan Peoples-Jones now complicates the situation even further for Williams, who's definitely remains a work in progress.
Number
How about
30,
Jahmyr Gibbs? How good did he look? Awesome. Love to
looked
see
great.
That.
Yeah, we love to see that. How do you rank those guys like going forward?
Which, how so? Oh, Gibbs versus Montgomery?
Montgomery and Gibbs, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're just guessing the health of Montgomery, so I don't know. I will say this. When Montgomery returns, I expect it to return to be the same as it was before, and you got to rank Montgomery higher. And I think, I don't know, I'm still going to expect him to treat Cam. Oh, okay. I love to hear that because I have more Gibbs than I do Montgomery, but you think it more be an even split?
I think it could be more even than okay. than we saw earlier. Like, I don't know, the days of David Montgomery carrying the ball 30 times like he did right. against the Packers, right. those might be over. Like, I think the usage from that game probably never happens again the rest of the season because they don't need to, by the way. Like, if Jahmyr Gibbs is looking this good, like, you don't want David Montgomery taking 30 damn carries because he's going to get hurt. We just saw it happen.
Yeah, he'll take all the touchdowns, but also Gibbs is looking so good as a receiver. They need to, he's earned those targets. Mm-hmm. They should continue as well. But yeah, that's fair. Maybe it is closer, definitely a closer to an even split than it was before.
I think, like, instead of bottom line, instead of where it started the year, where like Jahmyr Gibbs completely unusable in fantasy, even though people kept using him, and Dave Montgomery was like a running back one, I think it's more likely that both of these guys are running back twos.
Not gonna health. Maybe they could have been both top 15, and Eckler would have had to shave his eyebrows.
There's still time. There's still time. For that to happen. I mean, if you look at it right now,
Achan's the number 9 fantasy back this year, and he's played like 2 games. So anything's
played.
Possible. Yeah.
I mean, shoot, Dave Montgomery's still running back. Right now, it's actually back to back. Jahmyr Gibbs running back 19, and Dave Montgomery running back 20. So,
oh, that is crazy close. You better bring that up next week.
I mean, I wish I'd brought it up yesterday. That would have been great. Too bad I'm unprepared.
You even talked about the eyebrow. Talked about the eyebrow shaving too.
Threw me off about the mustache talk. And yeah, he's got me thinking I might maybe I'm gonna rock a mustache now that Austin gave me confidence. Yeah. But you should. We'll see. I'll do it after the season. All right, number 30 team, the Miami Dolphins. Jalen Waddle's target share in weeks 1 to 4, 18%. Weeks 5 to 8, 28%. Jalen Waddle is back, baby.
Yeah, Waddle looked great last week. Tyreek Hill scared us all and then returned to practice a day later. This should be a fun one in Germany against the Chiefs. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Just a lot of scoring. Waddle. I have Waddle back ranked as very aggressively. I think he's my wide receiver week. Wide receiver 6 this week. So, yeah, that's pretty nice having 2 receivers in the top 6 for Tua.
They're already there, too. They already traveled to Germany, so they're going to be locked in.
I know. I do a stat picks for RotoWire and have to send in them every game, and I do it early, and I picked the Chiefs, and I'm like, I'm back in Mahomes coming off that loss. But and then I heard that, and I'm like, I don't like that. It does seem like the teams that go there earlier have an advantage.
Speaking of those Chiefs, they are number 31 team. This stat from Sal Vetri: Rashee Rice led all Kansas City wide receivers in snaps and targets in Week 8, despite Justin Watson's return. KC still used 6 wide receivers in Week 8, leading to Rice playing just 60% of the snaps. However, Justin Ross on the commissioner's exempt list because he had a legal issue pop up there. Yikes, that was not fun to read that one. So Justin Ross out of the mix, it at least gets one guy out of the way, but it's still going to be kind of a by committee approach. But man, dude, like, you can tell Patrick Mahomes does not trust Sky Moore, and Sky Moore's not giving him a lot of reasons to trust him. Although I still don't know what the hell they're doing, having him run like deep routes against Patrick Sertan outside. It's just, you're wasting those plays. Might as well have Dalton Del Don run those routes. That's about how good it's going to go here for Sky Moore doing that stuff. He's an underneath slot receiver that they're using as a vertical outside receiver. Makes no sense. But Dalton, man, I'm watching that game last week, and like, that Chiefs offense had no shot to come back against the Denver Broncos defense. Like, that is how hopeless it looked last week. And now they play the Dolphins this week, which is kind of a different operation.
Yeah, Colin beat me to this stat one. He did not use Travis Kelce averaging 60 fewer yards when Taylor Swift is not in attendance. Fun stat. This offense.
Well, now she's on tour now, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I doubt she's going to Germany. That I think Mahomes is clearly sick last week, and the Broncos are playing way better defense than they had in the beginning of the year. That was totally skewed by these, you know, the Dolphins game and one other. They really were playing better. They played the same team twice in 3 weeks too. They had just played Denver, so it was a weird setup.
And I saw Nate Taylor, who writes about the Chiefs for the Athletic, say that, like, literally watching from, you know, the press box, like overhead, you could just tell that it was like they were gonna do like two guys, three guys sometimes in Kelce's zip code every single time, and like, just somebody else is gonna beat us. And that's the problem, is right now nobody else is gonna beat you except maybe Rashee Rice sometimes.
Yeah. No, they need a receiver, but I'm not betting against Mahomes coming off a rare bad game from him and against the Dolphins defense. So I actually wouldn't be like shocked if the Dolphins offensive line struggles and the Chiefs win this with defense and it does, and it underwhelms. We're all hoping points wise, but man, on paper, this one could be fun with Mahomes bringing his A game and Tua and the weapons. It could be exciting.
Colin just pointed out in the chat, producer Colin said that Taylor Swift's tour doesn't start until next week in Argentina. Shout out Argentina. Get her to Germany, bro. Okay. I mean, come on. You can't lose this game. You can't have Travis Kelce underperform in this game against the Dolphins. Taylor, take one for the team. Okay. Do this for your man. Be in Germany. Come on. You're not on tour yet. Let's get serious. Let's get serious here. All right, Philadelphia Eagles, number 32 team. Jalen Hurts, season low in rush attempts and rush yards last week. And there were definitely times last week where I saw him like hobbling around for real. That guy's like just not 100% right now, and nobody could tell me otherwise.
There were reports that he's, you know, to numerous hours of treatment on his knee throughout the week to be prepared, even though they don't list, because there's no probable on the injury report anymore, you know?
Right.
So it's, you know, they can just do it a little different there. But A.J. Brown.
And the injury report is bullshit. Remember this. Right. The injury report is bullshit. It's not a biblical document that you can get a lot of truths from. They lie to you with the injury report, period.
They do lie to you. A.J. Brown, NFL record, 6 straight game, 125-plus receiving yards last week. It was such a joy to watch. He drew another DPI in the end zone. Could have been just a massive, massive game. This should be a fun one against a tough Dallas secondary. Maybe Swift gets the ball more than we expect. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts is not running as much because of his knee, and I think that continues. But that said, they did still use him with the QB push, although he lost a fumble doing it last week. So that's huge for the fantasy news. As long as he can get that 1 yard, that is what's really key for the fantasy stats. But it certainly limits his overall ceiling if he's not going to run like he did in the past.
I can't wait to talk about that Cowboys game with you tomorrow. That is going to be very exciting. But for now, we talk Thursday Night Football to close this show out. Tennessee Titans at Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers are a 2.5-point home favorite, 36.5 total. Projected here. What a treat. Your stat for the Tennessee Titans, because we are going to get Will Levis again in this one. Next Gen Stats had this one. In his first career start, Will Levis threw 3 of the 10 longest touchdown pass by air distance this season. 47-yard touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins traveled 46.1 yards in the air, like true as the crow flies yards. 33-yard touchdown to Nick Westbrook-Ikhina was 55.2 yards in the air, fifth highest. And the 61-yard touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins was 51.7 yards in the air, eighth highest so far this season. So Will Levis, I don't know that we got all the questions answered about Will Levis that people had coming into the NFL. Certainly not. Some of this stuff is a little fluky last week, but he's got a cannon. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I mean, he threw twice as many touchdowns as Tannehill had all season, and they were just so pretty, just moonshots. I mean, it was wild to see. DeAndre Hopkins was so due to score for touchdown regression, but I ranked him low and didn't start him. I even benched him in the guillotine league because of Levis there and A.J. Terrell guarding him. But boy, beastly. What a performance there. And what do we now? Quick turnaround in Pittsburgh. Would you be shocked if the opposite happens now, you know, with I'm very curious to see how the rookie bounces back here.
Yeah.
Do they move on from Tannehill? This should be good. I'm really, really curious. I mean, right away. Is he done?
I think it's over. I think it's over for Tannehill. I don't think Mike Vrabel loves that it's over for Tannehill, but I think the organization's going to be like, look, we need to see what we got at Will Levis because, like, it's a unique opportunity for them. If he's a guy, if Will Levis is a dude that can be their starter, like, and they get him in the second round and then they still have a relatively decent draft pick this year, they don't have to use on a quarterback. Like, they need to see this experiment to the end. Obviously, they weren't going to do it with Malik Willis. They got to do it with Will Levis. I think they need to just play him the rest of the season. And I think it can be good news for DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I think Hopkins has played well this year. It just, Tannehill's been kind of a disaster. Like, I just don't think he's been a quality. Yeah. I think his arm is declining. I think he was a guy that was based a lot on movement skills before, and he doesn't have those legs anymore. And it's a big problem behind a bad offensive line. I think Levis gives them more upside for sure. I think Hopkins can have another nice game. It's a good matchup. The Steelers have been beaten up by perimeter receivers this year.
No, you're absolutely right. Even though I alluded to it being a tough matchup, just, you know, Pittsburgh at home. You're right, though. That secondary is beatable. And I want to keep an open mind with Levis, even though I read so much negative things on him. And he did, you know, pedigree wasn't he? Fell to the second round. But we just saw this with kind of Herbert in a way. And this franchise had Malik Willis ahead of him. Like, coaches just make these bizarre decisions, you know, and sometimes players can play. And we don't know the situation he was, don't know as well the situation he was in college. Like, the dude has arm talent, obviously. So, boy, that was an eye-opening debut. Just totally jumping off the screen in the sick old Oilers jerseys. Like, that was awesome last week to see Levis come out of nowhere and do that.
100%. Love to see it. And, you know, otherwise, like, I think it just gives some life to Derrick Henry, gives life to DeAndre Hopkins. Yes. And Chig and Treylon Burks are giving him nothing. So it's really just only about those two veterans right now. On the Steelers side of this, the stat for them, Deontay Johnson in his second game back, 91% of the snaps, 14 targets, 33% target share. Pickens' target share with Deontay Johnson, 17.5%. Target share without Deontay Johnson, 27.9%. And my God, like, Deontay Johnson should have scored a touchdown last week. Could have been a bigger game. It was just such a picture-perfect classic Deontay Johnson game in every possible sense. But I do think having these two receivers and funneling the targets through them is good news for a Steelers offense that is going to have Kenny Pickett, despite an injury scare, he's going to start this game.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson still hasn't scored since 2021. He had a sure one, as you said last week, wide open in the end zone. Bad weather played a part. Pickett missed him. But Deontay saw 11 targets before halftime, finished second among receivers in fantasy usage last week. His first read target share was 37%, nearly doubling George Pickens, who, as Jacob Gibbs points out, unfortunately returned to his clear out role. Downgrade Pickens accordingly, if that's going to continue, although Tennessee does have a nice, you know, pass funnel matchup this week. Deontay Johnson was out targeted Pickens 43-17 in four Mitchell Trubisky starts last game too. So even if Trubisky goes, it looks like Deontay Johnson is getting the love. And his, I believe he had the highest career air yards last week too. His average depth of target the last 2 weeks have been totally different too. So the touchdowns will come. You love to see the targets. I treat Deontay again as a borderline top 20 fantasy wideout given this usage. Okay, you're on board with that. All right, good.
Yep, I'm on board with that. I think he can have a smash. I mean, he'll drop two passes and get injured and miss three snaps or whatever.
He left injured last week too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, classic Deontay stuff last week. But I think we can get a good game out of him here, potential smash spot in a good matchup. So I really like Deontay this week. I think he should be started in all formats.
good to hear on board with that. And then more of the same for the running backs, you know, just taking their turns. It's just basically splitting it right down even. Jaylen Warren and PPR will get you 9 points weekly, but not much ceiling. And Harris is unfairly maligned for his efficiency compared to Warren. But that said, just simply not really, you can't expect much production against a Tennessee run defense.
Totally agree. Anything else from this game?
No, just can't wait to see Will Levis's follow-up, man. It was just such an impressive debut, and it should be a fun one to watch him try to do it in Pittsburgh in primetime.
Yeah, that is definitely a tough spot for a rookie in primetime, T.J. Watt and the boys.
And a
there,
short so. Week, you know, there's game plans are just mess. Even the best offenses, you know, it's a truncated game plan, so that'll mess it up. But it'll be I expect it should be a close one. You know, Vrabel always keeps them close.
Totally. We could be in a situation where it's like, don't overreact to the four touchdowns in his first start, and also don't overreact to the disaster in his second start. But I am very curious to see what Will Levis can offer us in this one. Well, Dalton,
nice 36 and a half point over under. Like good yeah. football time. Good football. Good talking football with you, Harmon. Good stuff.
Yes. Well, you'll be back tomorrow, buddy, on the week 9 viewers guide. I can't believe it's week 9, man. So hype for that, Dalton. As always, you bring us the best stuff.
Thanks, man. Looking forward to it.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Like I said, tomorrow we set the stage for week 9 with the games you need to binge, stream, and skip. And Dalton will be back for the week 9 viewer guide. Until then, we're out.